We are in Pierre, South Dakota, in room 464. This is the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission meeting of May 6th. It's 9:30 a.m., and we will first check to see who is on the telephone with us. Christy Lindstad. Christy, are you there? Mark Schlanta?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning, Mark. Tim Rickland.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Doug Idle.
Good morning.
Morning, Doug. Is there anyone else on the line that whose name I did not call? If not, we will proceed then with our agenda. We have two addendums to today's agenda. We'll first go through the original agenda. With administration, approval of the minutes of the commission meeting held on February 12th, February 26th, and March 11th. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve.
Are there any suggestions, deletions, corrections to the minutes? If not, Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbert?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints received by the commission. Welcome back. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The commission received a total of 79 contacts since the last report was prepared for the April 22, 2008 commission meeting. 7 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 20 of the contacts involved electrical services, 7 contacts involved natural gas services, 8 contacts involved cell phone service, 24 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, and 10 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 748 of the 790 complaints received in 2008 have been resolved, and 2,300 of the 2,337 complaints received in 2007 have been resolved.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Ms. Gregg? If not, we appreciate the report. Carrie did a marvelous job while you're gone, but you... We don't usually have one call notification dockets before us. We have one today. It's OC07-006 in the matter of the complaint filed by One Call Systems Incorporated against D&D Trailer Park, a.k.a. Spot, of DeSmet, South Dakota. Question today before the commission is, shall the commission grant staff permission to obtain a civil judgment against D&D Trailer Park, also known as Spot, in Circuit Court pursuant to South Dakota Codified Law 49-70-28. And I'm assuming D&D is not on the line. Kara, is this yours?
This is.
Excuse me, Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just by way of some history, Mark Sefkis, who owns a trailer park that's now known as Spot, it's gone through a couple different names, he owns a sewer line through his property. It leaves his property, however, and follows the right-of-way of South Dakota Highway 14 going north from his property, follows along the ditch to the city limits of DeSmet, where it connects with the DeSmet Municipal Sewer System. Because this line leaves his private property, it's therefore a facility as defined in our statutes, requiring that he join the One Call Systems, accept notification of an excavation, and mark his lines when such excavation is going to happen. He refuses to do both of those things, refuses to join the system, and refuses to mark his lines. Therefore, a complaint with the One Call Board was initiated. We had a very difficult time with this individual as he will not accept mail from the commission, will not accept mail from the One Call Board. So all of our notices had to be either delivered by the sheriff or UPS, or we tried to outsmart him in some ways to try to get notice to him. He still failed to respond. This action therefore went to the One Call Enforcement Committee. And that committee gave him an option. It fined him $1,000, but suspended that fine if he would join the system. They gave him 60 days to do so, or if he would allow the city of DeSmet to mark his lines. And the city of DeSmet offered to do so for a very minimal fee. Again, he did not act. He neither joined the system nor has entered into an agreement with the city of DeSmet. And the board went ahead then, and he's now been fined $1,000. He's received notices along the way, and we sent him a letter required, according to 497A33, which is the demand that gives him another 30 days, I believe. It gives him another 30 days to meet the requirements. Again, he's failed to respond. And we're just now simply seeking your permission to head to circuit court and obtain a judgment against him for this $1,000. And more importantly, the board's going to continue to work towards compliance and work with this individual and then try to get his membership in the one call system. But we feel this is the first step in showing him that we are really very serious.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sendler. Is there anyone on the line representing D&D Trailer Park or Spot Trailer Park or Mr. Cephas? Ms. Sendler, can you tell us, did anyone at any time from the One Call Board or any of the representatives meet with him or any of his representatives?
Yes. Larry Englert, the executive director of One Call, did contact him and, in fact, did personally deliver one of the notices. And to no avail, he refuses to acknowledge that he is required to be a member of One Call Systems and believes that because it's private property, which the majority of his line is on private property, he needn't join. It's that in the right of way that we're most concerned about.
thank you. And is, without going through the entire process of how to join when you say join the system, the one call, is that a very challenging effort for someone?
It's actually very simple. It's an application form that's available on the One Call website, and it directs you to One Call Systems, which is located in Pennsylvania. And it's a very simple application form. They simply need a map, you know, some way to locate your facilities, and they do most of the work for you after that, other than the actual locating. But, again, this individual could work with the city of DeSmit or another private locate company to locate those lines. And the locates we're talking about, they're not going to be extensive, but they are in that along the highway and causes for some concern.
Sure. Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Commissioner Colbert.
How long did you say that it runs north along the ditch individual? Is it a, if he was to locate it in the right of way, is it like a half mile, quarter mile?
You know, I don't have that information here. I apologize.
Okay. Not that, I guess my decision doesn't render on that. I was just curious as to how much work is expected.
I can provide that information after the meeting.
Thank you. Has the state been involved, the state DOT, since it goes along the state highway?
They may have been involved with him personally in trying to resolve it, but they weren't involved in this action at all. The One Call Systems in Pennsylvania is the group that actually began this action in front of the One Call Board, because they themselves would contact him because they knew it was a problem, and again, he would just simply refuse to respond. So DOT's not been involved in this locate action.
All right, thanks.
And this, as we understand, goes back to 2000. It started around 2005?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion by the commission?
I think it's just worth noting how many times the board has been patient with this gentleman, and I think it's time to move this to an even more formal level of resolution.
Is that a motion?
Yes, it is. I would move that the commission grant the staff permission to get a civil judgment against D&D Trailer Park, also known as Spot, in Circuit Court.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Under pipeline safety, we have a docket PS08-001 in the matter of the filing of the investigation of the natural gas incident of February 20th, 2008 on Montana Dakota Utility Company's system in Pierce, South Dakota. The question before the commission is, today shall the commission grant intervention to SDIP and MDU? South Dakota Intrastate Pipeline Company, SDIP, filed a petition for intervention on April 21. Montana and Dakota Utilities, MDU, filed a petition for intervention on April 23, 2008. And MDU, are you on the line? Oh, excuse me. Dave, Mr. Gertz. Is there anything you would like
to do? My name is Dave Gertis. I'm a lawyer from Pierre, and I represent MDU in this process. And we don't object to SDIP's intervention, quite frankly, and we would like to be present when this is investigated as well, since it involves our system.
And you're representing?
MDU.
MDU, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Is SDIP represented here?
Yep.
Hello. Woody? Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Commissioner, I am here representing South Dakota Interstate Pipeline, and I would just ask that we would be granted intervention in this docket.
Woody, would you state your name, please?
Yes, sir. Gordon Woods.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nathan Kara, who is looking for Nathan Kara?
Nathan's off on pipeline inspection, so this is Kara Semler for staff on this particular docket, Mr. Chairman. Staff supports both of these companies' interventions. The incident involves both of their systems, and they certainly have a peculiar interest in this docket, a particular interest. So,
peculiar or particular?
I meant particular. Tried to correct it before anybody caught me.
There's a
thing involved. Yeah. A particular interest in this docket, and we support the intervention.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on this docket? If not, Commissioner, questions? Commission action?
I'll move in PSO 8-001 that the Commission grant intervention to SDIP and MDU.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. Motion carries. Telecommunications, TC06-171, in the matter of the filing for approval of a Quest Local Services Platform Agreement between Quest Corporation and Granite Telecommunications, LLC. On December 15, 2006, Quest filed a letter and request for reconsideration. The question before the Commission is today, how shall the Commission proceed? Is Quest represented on this item? Do they wish to make any presentation? Granite Telecommunications? Well, then we will turn to Ms. Semler.
Thank you. And actually, after some subsequent conversation with these companies, we've all agreed to defer this with your permission, as we have some further discussion to hold before it comes before the Commission.
And that's agreed to by all parties?
It is.
Okay. Then we'll just defer that to... Let's take a formal action on that to show that it was deferred. I'll make the motion to defer this item. Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. Motion, the docket TC06-171 is deferred. Second item on our telecommunications is TC07-061 in the matter of the filing by Prairie Wave Community Telephone Incorporated for approval of revisions to its intrastate switch access tariff. The question before the Commission is, today shall the Commission grant the request to withdraw? Prairie Wave filed a request to withdraw its filing. Mr. Best, is this yours?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Prairie Wave Community Telephone, now known as Knowledge Community Telephone, filed a request to add direct trunk transport rates to its intrastate switched access tariff. I asked the company a couple of questions on how they propose to reduce their present transport rate, since this was going to be an additional element of the transport portion of the tariff. They hadn't thought of it in that light, so they gave it some thought and then requested to withdraw. Staff supports the request to withdraw.
Thank you. Ms. Lindstad, do you have any presentation you'd like to make on this item?
No. We agree that we can withdraw it because there's very few instances where we would charge for this anyway.
Okay, thank you. Any questions by any of the commissioners? Is there a motion?
I would move that the commission grant the request to withdraw.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. Motion carries. Item number 3, TC08-035, in the matter of the filing for approval of an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and Bandwidth.com CLEC LLC. The question before the commission is, today shall the commission approve the interconnection agreement? Ms. Semler?
Thank you. The agreement was properly filed and executed. It does not appear to contain any discriminatory language. No comments were filed, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Is there anyone from Quest or Bandwidth who wishes to testify on this item? If not, commission questions? Commission action.
I'm moving TC08-035 that the commission approve the interconnection agreement between Quest and Bandwidth.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. Motion carries. TC08-037 in the matter of the filing by South Dakota Network LLC for an extension of an exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched rates. Excuse me. The question, two questions today. Before the commission, shall the commission grant intervention to any parties that may have filed? Second question is, shall the commission grant the extension of an exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched access rates? Ms. Rogers, are you here representing SDN?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
And members of the commission, we have filed a request for extension of time of exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched access rates on behalf of South Dakota Network LLC. We've pointed out the reasons that we filed this in our request. First of all, producing a study is costly. We have to utilize outside experts to prepare it. We don't have any internal experts that are able to prepare a cost-based intrastate access study or a cost study, and this additional cost would or expense would not be meaningful or benefit the customers of SDN. And also, in addition, SDN does not anticipate raising access rates at this time. A preliminary analysis indicates that a cost study would support slightly higher rates, but not significantly, and so we would just choose not to try to raise our or increase our access rates at this time. With regard to the first question, I guess I'm not aware that any parties have filed for intervention, so we would request at this time that you would grant the request for extension.
Thank you very much.
I do have available on the telephone Mark Shalanta and also Tim Eklund if you have any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Shalanta, Mr. Eklund, did you have anything to add? Or are you just standing by for the tough questions?
I have no comment, Chairman Hanson.
I have no comment as well.
Thank you. Mr. Best?
Thank you, Chairman. There were no parties filed to intervene, so there is no first question to be taken action on. Staff would agree with what Ms. Rogers has said and would recommend granting the three-year extension for the filing of the cost study.
Excuse me. Thank you. Questions by the commissioners? Commission action. I will move that the commission grant the extension of an exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switch access rates. Is there a discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. Motion carries. Item number 5, TC08-038, in the matter of the application of Sandcom Incorporated doing business as Mitchell Telecom for a certificate of authority to provide interchange telecommunication services in the exchanges served by Quest Corporation throughout South Dakota. Question before the commission is, shall the commission grant intervention to any parties that may have filed? And secondly, shall the commission grant a COA to Sandcom Incorporated, doing business as Mitchell Telecom. Is, I believe, Mr. Idol.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm just standing by to answer any questions, if you have any.
All right. In that case, Mr. Best.
Thank you, Chairman. The this is just a standard request for certification of an interchange carrier. Staff has reviewed the application. It was filed in accordance with our administrative rules. It was by oversight of the company. They thought they had inter-exchange authority when they filed for local authority, but it was determined that their application originally was just for local authority. So this clears up that oversight, and it now grants you have to have a certificate for inter-exchange.
Thank you. Any questions by commissioners? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission grant the COA to Sandcom, thereby restoring peace to the land and bringing them into compliance.
Discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. We will turn our attention to the hydrocarbon pipeline under the addendum to the agenda. Docket HP07-001, South Dakota Energy Conversion and Transmission Facility Act to construct the Keystone Pipeline Project. The questions before the commission today, shall the commission grant the motion for approval of a public liaison officer? And secondly, shall the commission grant the motion for approval of construction bond? Mr. Gerdes, are you representing Keystone Pipeline?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm representing Keystone Pipeline. Mr. Kaneki happens to be in Washington, D.C., receiving a good dose of intelligence from those around him.
Well, you may proceed that.
Is that like going to the desert to look for water?
Yeah, it's such a good idea. Mr. Chairman, there are two items on the agenda. One is the motion for approval of a public liaison officer. And my understanding, I'll allow or let staff speak for their position on it, but we would ask that that be approved. Secondly, we've had a little bump in the road as it relates to some language in the construction bond, and we've agreed with staff and with General Counsel John Smith to defer that until we get a bond with some different language in it.
All right. Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about Ms. Metcalf off the cuff or?
Well, I mean, she has an awfully good resume, and she has worked in this area. She's worked with the pipeline people, and believes, and as I understand it, she's well versed to deal with the public as it relates to the pipeline.
Is it your understanding she holds a degree in biology and a master's in land rehabilitation?
Yes.
Thank you. It's from some of the filings that we received on her. Staff, Ms. Semler or Mr. Knadel or Nathan, Mr. Solem's not here. Do you have anything to add to these?
This is Kara Semler with staff. Just like to add that aside from her fabulous resume, we did seek some information on her relationship with landowners in the area. Ms. Metcalf did work as a land agent in the prior pipeline process, and her experience was very good, and there was nothing but great things that the residents in that area had to say about her, despite possibly a conflict that arose in some circumstances with the land agents, and the response that they had with her was good. And aside from her relationship with the landowners, she has worked directly with both the corporate leaders of TransCanada Keystone Pipeline and with the construction crew. So she knows both ends of it, the landowner concerns along with the corporate concerns. We would recommend approval of Ms. Metcalf as the public liaison officer.
Thank you. That's interesting to hear because there had been a number of complaints regarding some of the land agents, and you're telling us that there was good feedback with her, and there were no complaints?
Correct. Even in the northern area of the pipeline, where the land owners were particularly vocal about this pipeline, they actually had some very good things to say about this employee.
Thank you. Any questions by the commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, if I can.
Great, thanks.
Mr. Gerdes, can you give us an idea of what will, what will Ms. Metcalf's job be? Is this a portion of a portfolio of stuff she's working on for the applicant, or is this something she's working on all day long? Or
my understanding is this is something she would work on all day long if it took all day, and that her job is to represent the pipeline to the people up and down the pipeline and serve as a conduit for compliments, gripes, whatever, between the construction crew, the pipeline people, and the landowners.
The commission order is, I think, worded generally enough where, you know, we don't necessarily say whether she's going to be on site or just available to people via phone. Do you, or does the applicant have an idea of what any given week or month might be for Ms. Metcalf?
I really don't have that information, Mr. Commissioner, but my thought would be that she would be generally available as construction is proceeding across the ground.
And one thing that I certainly don't need today, but I think would be of interest to me at least, is some sort of a, if there's any document that Ms. Metcalf will use to help her understand, if I get a complaint like this, here's how I here's who I contact in the company, and here's how I escalate that concern to the proper people within the applicant corporate structure. I think that'd be helpful. I would just be curious as to what her marching orders look like, who to call and when.
So you're looking, actually, what you're looking for is sort of a protocol as to how she's
doing
the
job. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. We can get that for you.
Yeah, and I don't certainly don't need it by the end of the week or something, but you know, prior to construction, I think that'd be helpful for me to understand the protocol. That's all I have. Thanks very much.
Any further questions, Ms. Vice Commissioner Colbeck?
Who's I guess this is maybe for Kara. Who's her are you her contact for staff, or is Mr. Canedo?
This is Kara Semler. We're actually going to have a conference this Friday, a pre-construction conference with TransCanada, and we're going to go over some of those processes and how we intend to handle it at the commission and who they should contact at the commission, et cetera. So that's kind of a work in progress yet, and we intend as staff to file something in the docket to advise you commissioners of the outcome of that meeting that we'll hold this Friday, and so you'll understand from a staff perspective how those things will be handled.
And this may come out of that meeting, but how will the, I guess, Mr. Gertz, how will the company inform the landowners about her? Is she going to go door-to-door as the construction proceeds to, say, introduce herself? Or how are landowners going to know about her?
That may be in the order, actually, Commissioner.
I think it's in the order, and I don't have it with me.
That they have to inform by letter?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Okay.
And I think
don't have the order with me.
And I think every written communication with any landowner has to include that contact info,
yeah,
if memory serves.
Yeah, I believe that's correct, yeah.
And that may be something for your Friday meeting, just to make sure that that's clear, too. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? I will move then that the commission grant the motion for approval of Sarah Metcalf as the public liaison officer. Sarah, any discussion? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. We are turning our attention to the second addendum to the agenda of the commission meeting under natural gas NG08-001 in the matter of the filing by Northwestern Corporation doing business as Northwestern Energy for approval of a contract with deviations with Aberdeen Energy. Question before the commission is today, shall the commission approve the contract with deviations?
Mr. Chairman, do you want to defer that other item, or is it just considered deferred?
Thank you very much. I'd like to take formal action just so that we know that it's in the minutes and what we did with that. I appreciate you bringing attention to that. I'll move to defer the the issue of the bond in docket HP07-001. Is there a discussion on that? Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Commissioner Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. That portion of the docket is deferred. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Mr. Decker, are you here on NG08-001?
Yes, I am. I thought Mr. Gerdes was going to cover that for a minute there.
You were hoping.
Yes. Jeff Decker with Northwestern Energy. We have filed the contract with Deviation in order to serve the Aberdeen Ethanol Plant, or Aberdeen Energy Ethanol Plant near Mina, South Dakota. We've built an approximately 7-mile pipeline in order to serve this customer, who is projected to use about 8,600 MMBTUs per day. We use the same methods to develop the rate for this customer as we have in previous contract with Deviation filings, so the rate methodology is consistent. We recently, I believe on Friday, filed an amendment to the original contract. There were some additional tap costs that we were responsible for. So what we needed to do was to extend that contract with the ethanol plant from 10 years to 12 years. And the customer agreed to do that. This was, again, to cover the additional tap costs from Northern Border. And also the rate, as in prior contract deviations, the rate covers the costs, the return, and has margin available to cover overheads. The plant will begin flowing gas for testing purposes the week of May 19th, and right now the plant intends to be operational by June 1. We respectfully ask for your approval of the contract deviation this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Decker. Ms. Kramer, Mr. Jacobson.
Thank you, Chairman. Staff would recommend approval with the, in a way, we're in the same boat as we were with the prior contracts, because in the last three cases, we still haven't addressed fully this issue because we haven't had a class cost of service study that included these customers in. So we would, although everything does appear like it'll work out fine at this point, but until we do get that final study, we won't know the absolute answer that will result. So with that, we would recommend approval with the language that has been included in prior orders, which states that this approval does not predetermine a commission decision at the time of future rate case proceedings regarding rate treatment concerning possible cost recovery shortfalls resulting from rates approved in this docket. And further, because of the conditions that were included in the past rate case, we would just like to include those as conditions by reference in this order also, which would just state that conditions 10, 11, 12, and 13 listed in the settlement stipulation in NG07-013 be incorporated by reference in this order approving the contract for deviations. That way we're covered all the way around.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobson. It sounded like you had omnipotent interference there. when you lay down that condition, it was...
Well, I don't think I lived that clean.
Sounded like thunder in the background there. Mr. Decker, do you anticipate that there will, as a result of the operation of this plant, that there would be any effect on the costs to any of the other customers?
Not negatively. I mean, if they're contributing margin to the overhead pool, then that actually would have a positive impact on other ratepayers at the time of the next rate case.
So the operation of the plant could actually have caused a reduction in the costs of the fixed portion to the other ratepayers?
That's what we would anticipate.
When I was reading through information on this, I saw that there's a take and pay contract, but there's a minimum of 3,100,000 MMBTU. Can you tell me how many cubic feet is that? Or do you have any idea of what the minimum number of cubic feet?
No, I'm not aware of that conversion right off. I probably should be.
Oh.
MCF and MMBTU, I believe, are very comparable. So if you look at million of cubic feet, 3.1 million million. Maybe let's just leave it at that.
I'll ask Mr. Rizloff to calculate
that. Okay.
Thank you very much. Other questions?
Chairman, with regard to your first question there, Condition 10 in the settlement agreement states that Northwestern agrees that should any contracted aviation customer default on its contract obligations, such that the line extension costs incurred to serve the customer are not fully recovered from the customer, Northwestern shall be responsible for such costs and shall not be allowed to recover them from its other customers.
Oh, thank you very much.
So with regard to that facility, that's one of the reasons we included those by reference in this.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mr. Jacobson. Other questions? If not, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve the contract with deviations, including in the order by reference the conditions of the settlement stipulation last rate case, specifically conditions 10, 11, 12. I think 13 was in there as well. And then also just make it clear that this commission action doesn't have any effect on predetermination of rate treatment for the next rate case.
Thank you. Discussion? If not, Commissioner Johnson.
Aye.
Commissioner Colbeck.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Announcements. The next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be held May 20 at 9:30 at University Center, Career Place Avenue in room 282, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Commission meetings are scheduled for June 10 and 24th. A hearing in docket TC07-107 will be held May 20th through the 21st at University Center, 2205 Career Place, room 282, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The hearing will begin at 10:30 a.m. The Public Utilities Commission offices will be closed Monday, May 26th in observance of Memorial Day. Thank you all very much for your participation. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All those in favor of adjournment, please signify by saying yes. Those opposed, please signify by saying no. Motion carries.
Aye.